Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, insuring over 1,000 churches and religious ministries in Kentucky, Alabama, and Tennessee, and even insuring those who attend church, too. If you'd like a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can call 865-922-3111. Or visit them online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com. or phone 1-888-RX-4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Last week, it was just a rumor. This week, it's really true. But what's to come of the U.S.-Israel-Iran war as far as prophecy is concerned? Of course, the support and the condemnation has come in from the predictable sides. But can we predict what's going to happen next? Maybe. But one thing we can say for sure is that it's all part of the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, March 6th, 2026. You can listen or watch any of our episodes again. You can share them with your skeptical friend if they still don't believe what's going on. You can read the articles we talk about, which we always encourage you to do, or you can ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question. When you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net, or just grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who wants to know why people say age is just a number when it's clearly a word, and that's Pastor Mark, who joined the gym just over 30 days ago, but there's been zero progress. So tomorrow, he's going there personally to see what's going on.
That's exactly right. I've been jogging my memory for some time.
That's right.
Nothing's really getting in shape.
Yeah, it's like I joined you people. You haven't helped me.
Yeah, no. Promises failed.
Promises failed.
Yeah, come on.
But for us, promises kept.
There you go. That's right.
And we'll talk about that later.
Promises kept prophetically.
And so absolutely. All right. Before we get into articles, there are some things that you want to discuss.
Well, again, yes, I do. I some amazing stuff, guys. Technologically, you know, there's a lot of issues that come up in this broadcast, and really, these things have to do with prophecy because they have to do with how the Antichrist coming on the scene and how these things will be used. But run across some great technology stuff today that I want to share with you guys. It's on the horizon. And this is not make-believe stuff. This is real stuff that they're planning, and they say they know how it's going to work and can do it. And it's just amazing to think about. You know, one is they're talking about using here by the 2030s, which is not that far away, replacement body parts with your own DNA. In other words, you know, now you get the plastic ones that are made and they put in a new hip or a new knee, a new this. They're saying they can now take your own DNA from your body. If you have a surgery coming up, they'll take your DNA, and from your DNA, they can remake those body parts and really remake your hip like it was new, or remake your knee like it was new, remake your whatever like it was new, and then put it in. Now, you still have the surgery to put it in, but it's not a piece of plastic or a piece of metal. It's actually you. And it's you're not going to reject it, you know. And Greg, I wonder, you know, probably if the technology is going that way and the Lord doesn't come back, you know, a lot of times people have a lung put in or a kidney put in or whatever, and they go through the rejection. A lot of times their body will reject it, and it can be even life threatening when that happens and not work. You know, I would assume the same technology. I didn't hear that discussed in this particular discussion, but you would think the same technology would. You know, if you made your own lung, your body's not going to reject your own lung. No, the rejection. Right. It would be done. It would work. You wouldn't have to wait on a kidney, you know, transplant or a kidney, you know, donor, because they would just make you one. And so, I mean, it's this kind of technology, if it happens, now the Lord's coming back anytime. And of course, he can do all this, but it's amazing.
And do you think he would allow that to happen?
I don't know.
This would be another question.
I don't know. We'll find out. Yeah. You know, we'll find out, you know, again. But the most amazing thing to me, and the one I want to share with you guys, and again, there was also, they're talking about possible, you know, these vehicles that they say it'll be fairly standard, they believe, by the 2030s, where you have cars that fly as well. And so you just buy them, they'll be like on the dealership. You get a car and it'll fly as well as also does the other, but it kind of does it all for you. So it's kind of all run, you know, even your
it's like a Tesla with wings.
It is, in a sense, yeah. And so anybody could get it and do it. How they would regulate, though, where would the highways be in the air? I mean, this could get really, you know, but you'd have to, it'd be a whole new.
That's when you'd have to have AI controlling something, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, but, you know, you meet George Jetson.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But either way, but the coolest one I want to share with you guys, this is so amazing to me because this is one that I think will be abused. It's going to give hope to the blind. But it's going to be, I think, very abused, probably cause almost self-surgery, self-mutilation in some ways that people are going to do. And you can see the temptation. Again, when it comes to eyesight, you think of people that are blind and they talk about being able to help them to see again. It's not now, the technology is not trying to fix the eyes. The eyes are no good. Why fix them? You can just get new eyes. You know, when we see, a lot of people don't realize this. When you see, it's not your eyes that are seeing. It's your brain. Your brain takes the information and it forms it into a picture and then shows you what it is that you're seeing through the lens. Your eyes are lenses, in essence. They're lenses like a camera. So the eyes are not what hold the seeing ability. Your brain is what sees. So what they've done now, technologically, they've worked it out to where they can take these eyes that are blind and put in new eyes, lenses. Basically, put in eyes that are lenses, and they'll make them look like real eyes, but they'll be lenses, and then they connect to the core of your brain. So your brain can now take in the light through those lenses. Your eye, now what comes in, it comes into your brain. It's not blocked by eyes that don't work. It comes into your brain and gives you the image. So your brain takes it from there and you can see. So they literally believe, but here within the next 6 to 12 months, they're saying they'll be doing surgeries where they can take blind people now and literally give them sight. I mean, this is just, it's going to be so life-changing for so many people.
Absolutely.
And we'll see whether or not it's really 6 to 12 months. But Greg, here's what's amazing about it. So you go, wow, that's great. They can see. But I never thought this through until I heard them talking about what they're doing. Not only can they give you the eyes where you can see now, because their lenses that they're making, they can make them do whatever they want and build in the technology they want. You remember the $6 million man?
Oh, yeah.
So those of you that are a little bit older, you know, when I was a kid, there was a show
Steve
called
Austin.
The $6 million man.
Yes.
And he could see things like a mile away, that right up, like he was looking at it right there, and he had this incredible, you know, I was like, wow, how cool that would be.
We're going to build him back better, faster, stronger.
That's right. You know, never thought about the fact that with all those, he ripped the rest of his body apart using all these super.
Yes.
But either way, they can build into these eyes. They're saying right now they've already got this done. And they can literally, in these eyes, get this. Not only we have blind eyes that are good, they can give you distance and build in something. Like I said, you can literally see something a mile away. You have like eagles.
Wow.
The way I say, you can see a mouse walking through a field a mile away. I mean, the technology, it literally will zoom in, and you'll be able to see things that are just incredible. Think about that in military capacity, number one. But you can actually have that. Get this also. They will have also ultraviolet, which means you can see at night. It's like infrared. So all you have to do is I don't know if it'd be activated or always there, but you could be in a cave in pitch dark, not pitch dark, but if there's any ultralight at all, like when they show those planes and the cops fly over at night and they see the guy laying in the field and you see kind of the image of him, you're going to be able to see things in the dark with regular eyesight. Your eyes will work just like an infrared drone or an infrared camera, some of the military things they use. These guys get these infrared goggles they wear, you know, at night in military, or infrared scopes on their gun, you know, so they can see the enemy. Your eyes will do that.
Wow.
I mean,
that would be pretty cool.
I mean, think about it. No matter where you are, I mean, if you're in the woods somewhere and animals are coming, you'd see them a long way off, the bear, you'd see them coming where they are. You could get out of there, protect. Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of.
Sure.
Okay, get this. They also have radar technology they connect to them. And what that means is the signal of movement they can pick up and then create an image in your brain. So what that means is if somebody's in the other room, you can see them walking in the other room. You can see them. If they're behind a wall, you can look at somebody's house and you can see them inside their house walking around doing things. Now, there's going to have to be some type of regulation on that because that gets really weird and creepy. But apparently the government already has that kind of technology where they can drive by your home and they can look in there and see what you're doing, you know, that kind of stuff. But I mean, your eyes will do that. That's just,
yeah.
I mean, that's like, you know, it blows your mind. So, you know, you think about, you go back to Babylon where the Lord said, we've got to scatter these guys out because if not, nothing will be impossible for them. And what it means is if mankind is able to come together and use all their technology and God doesn't confuse it or scatter it for a while, they can do whatever. Daniel talks about knowledge increasing in the last days, and primarily it's talking about prophetic knowledge. It is saying prophetic knowledge will increase in the last days. But I wonder if there's not a dual thing going on there because you see technology also exploding in the world. So I kind of get the, I believe there's a double thing going on there, although the primary is prophetic. I believe there's a double thing going on because of the evidence, the fruit of it. So you can see why, you know, God in that day, yeah, back in Babylon's day, how could they have done that? Look, we were smarter then than we are now. God just stopped the technology from developing. They could have developed it then if God had let it happen. So this stuff is happening in the last days. And of course, all this kind of stuff is going to tie into the Antichrist and the mark of the beast and all this kind of stuff. And so this is all going to be used. There's a prophetic use and purpose for this kind of stuff. But here's the crazy thing about it. Here's where I said there could be some abuses of this. You probably, with the way they're doing all these gender things, which now they're kind of stopping doing, you could have elective surgery and take a good eye out and put in one of these supersonic eyes if you wanted, and you would have an eye that could see things ultraviolet by radar, distance, and as kind of almost disturbing as that sounds, I'll bet you there's kids that do it. I bet you the next generation. I mean, you know, even, you know, both eyes, man, let's do it. I want to just be superhuman. They want to be Marvel characters. And I could see this happening where they could do that. Now, what's interesting is he did make the comment that you can link these things to computer systems. And he was saying that, very interesting, the gentleman I was watching, he's saying that the same way cars are hooked up and they can turn your car off, if you do something they don't like, they can shut your eyes off. If you did that, just boom, your eyes are shut off. So now you can't see.
Or if you can watch somebody's conversation, you might not be able to hear it, but your eye can see the lips moving, and now the information is going into AI and now converting it into speech.
Oh, yeah.
So you can know what they're saying.
I mean, look,
that would
this
be another
is
way.
Here's the thing. If they're talking about doing this in the general population beginning in 6 to 12 months, how long do you think the government's already been doing it?
Good point.
Think about that for a moment.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably already some of these guys out there. You know, they do these Marvel movies where they'd like Captain America.
Yeah.
Where do you think those ideas come from? These are things they're experimenting with.
Well, I think they used that when they took Maduro out. Some of that stuff.
Who knows? The point is we may already have some super soldiers that we don't even know about.
That's true.
And so it's going to get very interesting. And you brought up a good point, Greg. How far does God let this go until he says, okay, kids, out of the pool. You know, we played enough.
Yeah.
And time to deal with this. And
I don't know.
But the Antichrist, and what's interesting is they said that when all this technology kicks in, and you have the computer systems controlling everything, your cars, the planes, your eyes, your bodies, everything through the connection, the chip we know is going to put on everybody. And when these 10 nations give their power over to this one world leader, he will be the only one with access. He'll be able to run the entire world through AI and through all that and literally run it. One guy could run the entire world and keep an eye on it and shut it down if he wanted. So you can see how the power to run the entire world is going to be at the fingertips of the Antichrist when this takes place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aren't you glad we're not going to be here? We're not going to be here. We're going to be at the wedding supper of the Lamb with our great Lord running all things, who will run all things for all time, and I can't wait.
And with a much better body than we have now or that we could manufacture ourselves.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait for the new body. You know, we'll get the, listen, as the body begins to ache, you get older and different things happen. The hope for the person that's getting older, you don't get depressed. Oh, man, I'm not young anymore. My body can't do what it used to do. Here's the hope. Listen, I can put up with this mess for a few more years because I'm getting a brand new one that is going to be awesome. And it's going to be better than anything that these AI-generated guys could do. It's going to be supernatural, straight from God.
And it's eternal, and it's never going to wear out, and every day is going to be like the first day.
I can't, man. We're going to be like teenagers forever.
Yes.
It's going to be awesome. Anyway.
All right. This is a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about. You probably may know already, because again, the stuff happening with Iran is moving so fast.
But not this one.
But not this one.
I bet they don't know.
This is dated March 1st. This is from timesofisrael.com. Iranian missile warhead falls less than a kilometer, or kilometer, however you want to say it, from the Temple Mount and the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
See, I didn't know this one until today, and I'm rabid on keeping up with this stuff. I watched.
And you
guys,
are. Yes.
I am. I mean, I should. Today's the first time I'd heard this.
Wow.
And so a lot of people may not have heard it, but it basically about a half a mile away. It's 0.6 of a mile.
Yeah.
Is a kilometer.
Yeah.
And so you're looking at a little bit more than half a mile away. A bomb fell near the Temple Mount. Now, guys, here's the thing that makes this. Okay, let me tell you what's going to happen. What could happen? And I'm not saying it will. But if that thing had hit, just imagine, the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Everything is so dense there, Pastor Mark. It could have hit the King David Hotel. Where was it going to fall?
I know.
When you think about that area.
I know that it didn't destroy something. But
exactly.
But think about if something did take out the Al-Aqsa, here's what's going to happen. Because, again, the Muslims are not going to do it. Iran's not going to do that on purpose. They're not going to do that. But if that was to happen, you know what's going to be said. Israel did this. It's a spy thing from the Mossad. They did it on purpose. They're accusing Iran of doing it. And all they wanted to do was get rid of the temple, get rid of the Dome of the Rock, so we can now build the third temple. But imagine, if it did get blown up, I guarantee you there would be talk about the third temple that would be in the forefront for it, because they're saying, look, now that the dome's gone, you know, I mean, we have...
Ezekiel 42 only talks about building the wall to separate the profane from the unprofane. It doesn't necessarily talk about what's going to be there. It just talks about what's going to be there,
right.
And that's the third temple.
You got the Iron Dome, the Golden Dome, and the Dome of the Rock. Mm. And if either of those fail and the Dome of the Rock goes out, anyway,
wow.
We know the third temple is going to be built. But I'm thinking, if that was... I'm not saying it will. I don't think that it will. But if it did... you know, that would be a thing where, yeah, blame it on Israel. But I'd say, look, if somebody's trying to say that Israel did that and it blew up, it would be impossible for Israel, because the government wouldn't do it and the individuals couldn't get a missile to do
that. Well, plus the Jews cherish the Temple Mount and everything that it represents. And so for them to go and do that, to take that out and damage their own antiquities that are there in terms of the archaeological findings.
Right, right.
Boy, that poor... I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that it couldn't, but boy, that would be a tough one.
Yeah. I mean, again, I could see some radical Jews doing it. The problem is they don't have access to missiles.
Yeah,
and all
exactly.
That. So, but kind of thing. Listen, if something falls, here's my point. Note this. If something falls and destroys something that is sacred to Islam, they're going to blame.
Yes, of course.
The Jews for that. But it says the warhead, the Iranian missile, hit a site just several dozen meters from the old city. They're in Jerusalem, several hundred meters from the western wall of the Temple Mount on Saturday. The police announced on Sunday, according to the police, an explosion was heard and smoke was seen rising from the site just west of the old city on Saturday morning, shortly after the beginning of the latest armed conflict with Iran. The impact site appears to have been the Sultan's Pool outdoor events venue, which really...
So I mean, it did hit something.
Well,
yeah.
The Sultan, that's a Muslim name.
Yes, it is.
So it hit the Sultan's Pool outdoor events venue. So basically, Iran, you destroyed one of your party places there in Jerusalem.
Interesting.
Which lies just a few dozen meters to the west of the old city and just under a kilometer west of the Temple Mount as the crow flies. Now, the crow's an unclean bird, so probably wouldn't let that measure anything. Police and sappers, I'm not sure what a sapper is, conducted searches of the area and found the warhead from an Iranian ballistic missile along with the incendiary and explosive materials scattered nearby. Police said so.
Maybe that's the bomb squad, but
I'll tell you, very interesting, only in light of the fact that that's the closest anything has ever gotten to detonating on the Temple Mount. And if something was to happen to the Al-Aqsa, it's going to be that's when all the Muslims of the world, you know, the Jews are killing our heritage. That could change the equation. You know, as a matter of fact, I could almost, Greg, see it advantageous for Iran to attack the Temple Mount and blow up the Al-Aqsa. Because as they're about to be destroyed as a nation and all be wiped out, if they can get all the Muslim nations of the world to unite with them, it might spare their life. And so as a desperation, really, I think in a crazy way, it might be a very wise military strategy to take out the Dome of the Rock. Although that on the surface seems absurd, when you're about to die and there's nothing else left, if you did that and all the Muslim nations rallied, this war might stop. And it could be, I mean, that's not trying to give any ideas, but can you imagine if it happened? I think it could change the equation.
Yeah. Wow. All right, we've got plenty of Ezekiel 38 and 39 news to cover, obviously. This first one is from the Jerusalem Post, dated March 2nd. Russia's Putin offers to mediate with Iran. Oh, how nice of him.
Yeah.
But yet calls the U.S.-Israeli strikes unprovoked aggression, even though Iran has been provoking for 47 years.
Well, yeah, since 1979, they've blown up one of our, where our military was, 200-something soldiers at one time killed.
Exactly.
They've blown up other military establishments. They've killed so many thousands of soldiers that were there in Iraq from things they sent in when we were there. Look, unprovoked, I read that and go, he has to know that he's completely being foolish and lying.
Yes.
I mean, the memory's so bad, nobody's going to remember. They have been attacking us. I like what I heard this morning, Greg, on Fox News. They made a comment. They said, you know what? President Trump didn't start this war. They started the war 40 years ago. He's finishing it. He's fighting back and stopping it. They started it. It just took 40 years for our leaders to deal with it. That's exactly what's going on. Russian President Vladimir Putin spoke by phone to leaders of three Arab Gulf states on Monday, offering to use Moscow's ties to Iran to try to help restore calm in the Middle East following U.S. and Israeli strikes, which he condemned. In a series of calls with leaders of the UAE, Bahrain, and Qatar, which are all under attack, by the way, from Iran, Putin criticized the U.S.-Israeli strikes on Iran, which the Kremlin described as unprovoked aggression. Like, hello, wake up. I know you're not foolish. I know you're not blind. I know you're not dumb. You're just lying. Earlier, the Kremlin said that Moscow remained in constant contact with the Iranian leadership. Actually, it's Kremlin. I apologize. Moscow sees its strategic partnership with Iran as central to maintaining its and remaining clout in the Middle East, with its influence, where its influence took a hit with their mutual ally, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, who was toppled 15 months ago. But listen, Russia and China are getting just removed from the Middle East right now.
Yeah.
With Syria going down, now with Iran going down, you got the ties with Russia and China. I mean, it's like, and the oil import, they're hurting. Although Russia stands to benefit from higher oil prices and may welcome Washington's focus shifting away from Ukraine, the U.S.-Israeli air war also runs counter to Moscow's desire for a multilateral world order in which the U.S. is not dominant. Yes, remember, I told you there's two world orders at battle here. You've got the West, the East and the West battling each other. The East is China, Russia, Iran, and other nations. They're wanting a bloc there to kind of become the power, India, these guys, to be the power slot of the world. Then you got the West, which is basically America now, because the West, we got such weak leaders in the U.K. with, you know, their leader is so weak, and now the guy in Canada is so weak.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's so many weak Western leaders, but President Trump is super strong, whether you like him or not, he is. There's an East-West battle going on for world dominance. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The West is going to win. How the West was won. How the West won might be a better title. Because the Bible clearly says that, again, it's going to be the West, the revived Roman Empire, which represents the West, that is going to dominate. Although Rome also controlled the Middle East and the Muslim areas, it would appear to be the Western dominance that's going to take this power control. So I think that's where we're headed on that.
All right, Pastor Mark, I'm going to toss these next two articles to you together because they kind of go hand in hand.
All right.
The first one is from the timesofisrael.com. China, Russia, North Korea, and Hamas condemn the killing of Iran's Khamenei. And I've also heard that name pronounced Khamenei. So I've also heard it pronounced that way, too. Don't know what the correct one is.
Right.
And then the next one from All Israel News is China, Russia, Turkey call for an immediate end of the Iran war. So we condemn it and stop what you're doing.
Well, you've got them all together.
Look at this.
Look at this alliance here. China, Russia, North Korea, and Hamas didn't surprise me.
No.
You're talking about light and dark.
Yeah.
And there's this darkness here. And again, as far as Khamenei, I've heard Hamenei.
Yes,
which
Khamenei,
is actually Hamenei, which
or
actually
Khamenei. Okay,
he actually goes with brown beans and burritos.
Yes, thank you.
But either way, I don't know which it is, but either way, it doesn't matter now. You know, it's interesting, Greg. He spent 40 years saying "Death to America, Death to America, we're going to storm Death to America," and he was dead within 30 seconds of the war starting.
Yes.
He wasted 40 years trying to kill us, and within the first round, he took him out. I mean, I just, the judgment, the justice, I mean, it's like, it's the Lord. But either way, it says, while many Western leaders welcomed news on Sunday that Iran's notorious strongman, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, that's how I'll say it, has been killed, in an Israeli airstrike. Authoritarian states like China, Russia, and North Korea condemned the news and did Iranian proxies Hamas as their proxies, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. China said Sunday it strongly condemns the United States and Israel killing of Khomeini, calling again for a halt to military actions. The killing was a serious violation of Iran's sovereignty and security, although he killed hundreds and thousands, basically, of Americans over the last 40 years. They're saying it was all wrong. China firmly opposes it, strongly condemns this, and they call for an immediate halt to the activity. Not going to happen, but it doesn't surprise me that they're all linked together on that, of course, condemning it. And then you got China, Russia, and Turkey, as you said, also asking for an immediate end to the war. Again, here's why this alliance, Russia and Turkey, catch my attention more. China's kind of the mysterious.
Yes. You know? Are they kind of like, when you go to a theater, a play, you know, you've got the stage manager and they're, you know, making sure the props are in place and all this kind of stuff or whatever, you know, the actors are in their positions for the play. It's almost like China's like a stage manager for this prophecy theater.
I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, I can't even get a fortune cookie to say what's going to happen to them. But I mean, here's the thing, Greg. Right now, they're being hamstrung. They're being taken out by the oil. Listen, Iran, they got the majority of their oil from Iran. That's done.
Yep.
Venezuela, that's done.
Yes.
Except they still get oil from Venezuela, but get this. They were got it at a greatly reduced discount price.
Not anymore.
Now they're paying full price, and they're not getting the oil from Iran. So this is going to, their economy was already in bad shape. So these guys are hurting. It could be they become so weakened through all these things that are happening now they become a non-issue.
Maybe.
But either way, China, Russia, and Turkey pushed on Tuesday for an immediate end to the war again, which began on Saturday with joint U.S. and Israeli strikes on the Iranian regime. The Ayatollah regime has responded by firing missiles and drones against the U.S. and Israel. Turkey's president condemned both sides in the ongoing conflict. Attacks on Iran and the missile and kamikaze drone attacks by Iran on the neighboring countries is fueling instability, he said. Because they shot some at Turkey, and that got shot down. Guess who shot it down when it was coming to Turkey?
And I thought you were only supposed to do that around Thanksgiving time. Shoot at Turkey.
That's right. I know you're right. Exactly right. Turkey shoot. It's a turkey shoot.
Yes.
But either way, here's the thing. Guess who shot it down? The U.S. We shot it down.
Oh, I thought it was NATO.
No,
okay.
We defended. We're the ones that actually shot. We're a part of NATO. So yeah.
Oh, I'm
technically
with you.
Say NATO did it, but we did it.
Okay, gotcha.
All right. So again, Turkey owes us. So we won the turkey shoot.
Yes.
And Israel Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan, he's a confidant, reportedly discussed the Iran war with the U.S. ambassador to Turkey and Syria, Tom Barrack. And of course, he used to have that show about Hawaii, unless Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck.
Yeah, the Turkish foreign minister also revealed that Fidan spoke with the British foreign minister, Yvette Cooper, concerning the security environment in the region. And exchange views of diplomatic efforts that could be undertaken in the hostilities. And same kind of thing. Last line, the Israeli Air Force eliminated over 40 top Iranian commanders. Now it's in 50, over 50, alongside Khomeini in their initial strikes. Nothing like this has ever happened. But the technology. Greg, did you hear how they knew where Khomeini was? Did you hear the story yet? Israel's the one that showed us where he was.
Of course.
Israel, for many years now, you know how they plan in advance?
Oh, yes.
They have hacked the cameras in Iran, and Iran didn't know it. All their building cameras and street cameras.
Right.
And they logged his daily routine.
Yes.
And he does it for years. They knew when he was going to be out. They knew where he was going to go, how he was going to do it. They watched him. The president, they were all able to see that because they said the Israelis let them all tap in. They watched where he went. They watched where he was. Then, boom, took him out.
So we were the ones that took him out. I thought Israel was the one that actually went in there and did the bombing.
You could be right.
It
may have been Israel that actually took him out, but we were watching it from. I think they allowed us to see from them. But I'm not sure if it was them or us that took him out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you could be right.
It's kind of, they're both kind of involved in
there
that.
There were so many things happening at once.
Yeah, and they said they were going to get him sooner, they said, but he came out 6 weeks ago and went back in because it was going to be another bad 6 weeks.
Groundhog Day.
Yes.
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 Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. Well, that's Pastor Mark Kirk, who's helping us understand the signs of the times.
Kind of.
It's our weekly review of Bible prophecies and bad jokes in the world's news on WIAMLP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast episode number 405, which is easier to listen to than a voicemail that starts with, "I don't know if you got my last message, but," and now, we've got mail.
You've got mail.
Not one, not two, but three questions this week.
Three.
Yes.
To get to the heart of prophecy.
Yes, to the heart of, yes.
how many questions does it take?
to get to the heart of prophecy, you're wearing the right glasses.
That's this, right. The owl will tell us.
Yes, the owl will tell us.
Number one.
This one is from Steve, enjoying Signs of the Times right here in Knoxville. Parallel prophecy is his question.
Yes.
He says, 3 weeks ago, a question was asked by someone named Daniel about the generation that would see the signs of the coming rapture that Jesus spoke of in the book of Matthew. You know, it seems like whenever Daniel speaks, it takes 3 weeks for something to get, for like the angel to get there. Yes. You know, it was like 21 yes. days.
Or That's right. Okay. There you go.
This caused me to think of the story about Simeon in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35, particularly verse 26. Where it says that the Holy Spirit revealed to him, that is Simeon, that he wouldn't see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. In relation to the generation that sees the signs of the rapture and who will not pass before Christ gathers his elect, could the Simeon story be a parallel or dual prophecy that you speak of so often?
Yeah, I don't know that I see this, Steve, as a dual prophecy, but I will say this. You're onto something. It's the same principle. Again, I don't know. There's nothing I can connect prophetically to saying he would see in that generation and ours, other than even as, and here's the connection I would make. And so it's a great question, but here's the connection I would make, Steve. Even as God showed through the signs of Simeon's day that he wouldn't die till the Messiah came, the Lord said, those of you that see these signs in Matthew 24 taking place, that generation, he said, this generation will not pass until all these things come be fulfilled. So what generation? The generation that sees all the signs that he's talking about in Matthew 24. So yes, there is a similarity there, absolutely, of God said, Simeon, there's going to be signs. You've seen them. The Messiah is coming in your day. He said, okay, for those of us now that see the signs of the last days out of Matthew 24, you too are going to see the Messiah come. So yes and no. Yes, there is a parallel in the way that God shows the signs to both, but I don't see a specific link to Simeon's prophecy and what Jesus talked about in Matthew 24.
Okay. All right, Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Angela. She enjoys Signs of the Times in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And she says, I am studying Isaiah chapter 63 rather, right now. In verses 1 through 6, it describes Jesus with blood on his garments treading the winepress of his wrath.
Yes.
The chapter begins saying he is coming from Edom /Bozra. Can you help me understand where I will be as a believer while this is going on?
Yes.
I know we are supposed to be coming back to the earth following the Lord on white horses, according to Revelation chapter 19. I thought we were going directly to the Mount of Olives, but it seems the Lord has some business in Edom first. And verse 3 says he trods the winepress alone.
Yes.
Help me understand.
So great. What a great question, Angela. I love it. This gives a good chance to talk about what's going to happen. Look. The Lord said in the mid-trib, remember what's going to happen, the Antichrist is going to declare that he's God, and he says, those of you that know my voice and you know the word, get out of there. He talks about it, he says, flee, don't go back for your jacket, don't go back for anything, get out of there. You don't have any time but just to get out. If you go back, you're not going to make it out. The Antichrist is going to shut down everything in Jerusalem and start just massacring the Jews, right?
Right.
But if you leave immediately when he makes that declaration, you will get out, and he said, flee down to Petra, which guess where Petra is? Edom. So they're going to be fleeing down to Edom, where they were in the region of Petra, somewhere in that region, the ancient city probably, and other areas right around there, maybe not limited just to the city itself. They're going to be held up there, and God is going to supernaturally protect the Jews who get down there, because they're believers, they took his word. It says he will supernaturally protect them in Revelation for the last 3.5 years during the Great Tribulation. They're going to be safe down there. And it says the Antichrist will send an army down there to wipe them out. And it says that God will even swallow up the army. They'll come after the Jews that are fleeing like a flood. Mm. And it says the earth will open up and swallow the flood. So it's going to there's going to be probably some kind of giant earthquake or something's going to swallow the army up and destroy them. The bottom line is they're not going to be able to get the Jews. They will get down to Petra. They'll be safe for 3.5 years. And the Lord will somehow supernaturally protect them for 3.5 years, because the Antichrist is going to know they're there and he would love to go kill them, but God's not going to let him. So how that's all going to pan out, I don't know, but that's what's going to happen. Now, so here's the scene. Here's where you'll be. First of all, Angela, where you will be, the rapture of the church will take place before the final 7 years takes place. Then you'll be in heaven, the Bible says, at the wedding supper of the Lamb. It's interesting. The wedding suppers and the meals, they were 7 days long on earth. In heaven, it'll be 7 years long, And we're going to be go up there and have this wonderful celebration with the Lord, just celebrating during the final 7 years of judgment. We're going to be sitting around a table, laughing, rejoicing, eating, the Lord just praising. I mean, it's going to be amazing. It's going to go by so fast. I guarantee you, we'll get there. I'm like, you're kidding. That was 7 years? Okay, now we get to go have more fun. Let's go to the earth and take over.
Yeah.
It's going to be so, so exciting, okay? So you'll be there. That's where you'll be. You asked the question, where will I be? You'll be there watching it from the bleachers, the upper bleachers from heaven,
yes,
of what's going on the earth. Now, as you come, now the scene is set. We come back from heaven. Here we come down the earth with the Lord. So the Bible says, so come with 10,000s of his saints. We'll come back in millions and 10,000s of 10,000s coming back is what it means, millions and millions. And we'll come down to the earth with him, okay? Now, when we come down with him, he's going to have white garments. We're going to have white garments. He won't have any blood on him. But then it says in Isaiah 63 that the Lord's going to go down to Bozra, and he's going to tread the armies there. He's going to stomp them like grapes, like
yeah,
somebody stomping grapes. And he'll get blood all over his robes, right? And then he'll again rejoin us there in Jerusalem. So here's what appears is going to happen. We're going to come down. We will all make it to right there at the whole Jerusalem area. And he's going to leave us there for a minute. It's going to be, guys, you wait right here. I've got something to take care of. And the Bible says, just like you pointed out there in Isaiah 63, what he says is, I'm doing this on my own. Nobody's with me. I personally am very upset about how the Jews have been treated.
Yes.
These are the ones that I've chosen. They're the ones that have gotten saved. These are the descendants of Abraham that have repented. And I'm going to protect them the same way I protected Abraham. And I take this personal. So it says he's going to go by himself on his horse down to, or in some form and fashion, horse or not, he's going to go down to Petra, down to Edom, and that's what it describes there. He will trample them like grapes. The Lord himself, by himself, will destroy the armies. Now, apparently what's going to happen is, the Antichrist, we talk about the Battle of Armageddon. I should have set the scene more, so let's back up a little bit. Okay, the armies are going to come down. That was us backing up. The armies are going to come down on tape, which you don't have tape anymore. We don't have tape. You can't even do
it.
It
was self-explanatory.
Yeah, but we don't have tape. Do they even know what I'm talking about? Does the next generation know what that means?
You know, I have no idea. But you spoke in a tongue, but yet you provided the interpretation.
Yes. When you run tape backwards, it makes that noise. Anyway,
yes.
the armies of the Antichrist are all going to gather there against Jerusalem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to gather. And the Bible says they'll be gathered, Greg, all the way from Armageddon, which is there in northern Israel, all the way down to Petra.
Yes.
So there'll be a battle line all the way across there, these massive armies. Okay. It's like 200 and something miles, I mm-hmm. think. Anyway, then we come back with the Lord. He stops. We apparently stop right there. He goes by himself down to where, because it appears the Antichrist is trying one last time to destroy all the Jews that are being protected down in Petra. They're going to try to move on Petra to kill the Jews. The Lord's going to say, you guys wait here. I'm going to deal with them. So it's like the big brother comes in to say, no way.
Yeah.
He comes in and he stomps the armies of the Antichrist down there and crushes them like grapes. In this literal stomping, he gets blood all over his robes. So these are going to be physical robes, Greg. They're going to be
yeah.
robes. You know, he's going to have to, when he comes to Temple Mount, change those robes, I guess.
Yeah.
But he's going to literally crush those armies, Angela, and these robes are going to get all over him. I mean, the blood will get all over him. I try to imagine what that would be like. I try to picture the Lord coming in on the horse or else coming in just what's it going to be like?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the power, the glory of our great king stomps them. Then he will go back and rejoin us over Jerusalem. How do we know that? Because then it says he'll now have bloodstained robes.
Yeah.
You read in Revelation when he comes on down to the Mount of Olives, where he gets ready to, where it splits and he gets mm-hmm. ready to take over and establish his throne, he's got blood on his robes. So when he first comes from heaven, they're white robes. He goes down to Petra, defeats the armies of the Antichrist, trying to kill the Jews that fled there. He gets blood all over his robes. He comes back, he joins with us, and we come now with our great and mighty commander who just kind of, you know, and then he puts his foot down.
Yeah.
I'm putting my foot down for the world. Boom, on the Mount of Olives. It splits. The world changes. He defeats all the armies of the Antichrist. He establishes his throne. And then we, again, celebrate with the Lord for 1,000 years with him ruling and reigning over the earth until we get the new heaven and the new earth.
So while he's dealing with
while
he's dealing with the enemies, so did he just drop us off at like the millennial Jerusalem gift shop?
And
we're haggling over olive
yeah.
wood souvenirs or something?
I don't know. You think about it. It's
what
like,
are
you
we
know,
doing?
I don't
yeah.
know. It's like, you know, here,
and how
just,
long will it, and really, how long will that take? It doesn't give us a time frame.
I don't know. Again, you guys just kind of hang out here and
anyway,
watch it.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're watching it. Think about it.
Yeah.
We're going to be there. We're supernatural. We're watching the Lord and this mighty battle. You know, we're probably cheering. I bet there's loud cheers and they have, rah! you know, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then we see him come back. And do you imagine just the authority and looking, and he just kind of looks at us and he says, now let's go take over. And boom.
Boom.
I can't wait.
Yes.
I can't wait. It's so exciting. Great. So exciting.
All right. Well, let's get one more question in. This one comes from Sean. He enjoys Signs of the Times just south of us in Seymour. His question is about biblical wrestling.
Yes.
He says, when the Bible talks about Israel, how do we distinguish between Israel as Jacob and his descendants, the ancient kingdom of Israel, prophetic end times Israel, and the modern state of Israel? Are those all the same entity in God's plan, or are we conflating different biblical categories?
Yeah, again, another great question here. When you talk about the modern state of Israel and the Jews and who's a Jew, well, here's how this works, just so you know, Sean. The Bible says there are two groups of Jews, physical and spiritual. And I'm actually gonna expound on this a little bit this Sunday because we talked about it last week, and I'm gonna give kind of a quick clarification or addendum to it. This Sunday before we get back into what we're going to be covering. But there's a physical Israel and there's a spiritual Israel. The promises that were made to Abraham in Genesis 3, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. In Genesis 15, which was an unconditional promise, which means it doesn't matter whether you're righteous or unrighteous, good or bad, I'm still going to keep my promise. That goes down through Isaac to Jacob into the 12 tribes of Israel physically. So the physical, even non-saved, even unsaved descendants, the physical, saved and unsaved, but even the unsaved, that promise of giving the land to them, that's God's promise to them. Even if they're not saved, God said, I'm going to bring you back in the last days and give you the land. It is a physical promise to the physical descendants of Abraham. And so they are. That's why we see them back in the land now. They're back there since 1948, officially a nation again. They're back in the land, and so being there in the land, this is God fulfilling his promise to the descendants of Abraham. Now, where a lot of people are saying, yeah, but they're not real Jews because real Jews have to be those. You know, the Bible says, Paul said, not everybody that's Israel is Israel. And those who don't like Israel and don't like the Jews, they use that to say, see, they're not real Jews. They're fake Jews and we shouldn't support them. Whoa, 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 whoa. No, no. All of the physical descendants, God's promise was to give them the land and bring them back in the last days. So we support all the Jews in getting their land and getting back in Israel in the last days because that goes with God's promise. It's unconditional, Genesis 15. However, there is an additional promise for those who get saved. And now we have the spiritual promise. So now those who give their life to the Lord, they get not only the promise of the land, but they get now the promise of eternity in being saved. So the promises apply to all Jews. The first part, just the physical part, to the Jews back in the land, that's theirs. God's keeping that promise now. Where Paul said, not all Israel is Israel. The second part, they're going to be the ones that give their life to the Lord. They're being saved now. Some will be saved before the rapture. Some will be saved during the rapture. And I mean, during the tribulation. And then there'll be those that are saved that are down there at Petra that God goes to defend in Petra that we just talked about.
Yeah.
They are spiritual Israel. So you have the genetic Israel, a physical Israel, spiritual Israel. Blanket promise for all of physical Israel, which includes both, but only the eternal promise for those who receive Christ.
But those that are spiritual Israel had to first be physical Israel in
that's
order
right.
to be spiritual.
Because, absolutely.
And I think that's an important distinction to
yes.
make because a lot of times people will try to make the church
no.
out to be that somehow we're in a replacement theological
that's
position.
That's right. It's called replacement
so,
theology.
So anyway, that's why I wanted to bring that
but
up.
But let's talk about this yeah. second real quick because here's the thing. Look, there is nowhere in the Bible that you're going to find that says the church replaced Israel. You will not find it. So why is that theology taught? Man came up with it, and man says, well, here's what happened. So here's their story, okay? Israel rejected their Messiah, so now we have become Israel as Christians. No, we haven't. Where are you coming up with that? Well, we just said, no, we haven't. God didn't say that. The Bible says that there's no indication whatsoever. It is simply those who want to replace Israel, mm-hmm. and they want to take over Israel. Now, part of it—
we're just adopted into the family.
Yes. Now, part of it, Greg, could have been honest in this sense. Part of it could have been because God took them out of the land for 2,000 years and they looked at the Bible and it says God's going to, again, keep his promises to the descendants of Israel and they're not in the land. So that must not have been really a promise that kept going. Since they're not in the land, that must have been, I mean, maybe we read that wrong. So maybe now the church is Israel mm-hmm. and all these promises transferred to us. So I'm not saying over time it could have been an honest
right.
mistake.
Yeah,
misinformation by some.
Yeah.
But today... since 1948, and God reestablished and said, can a nation be born in a day? God was prophesying it happened in a day. Now that has taken place, It should have answered all questions. And nowhere now we take the Bible literally. Like it said, God says, I'll bring them back in the last days. I'll put them back in the land. That's exactly what he's doing. He says, I'm not going to put them in the land because they've earned it or deserve it. I'm putting them back in the land because I made a promise to them. So that's hopefully answers the question.
All right. Well, if you've got questions, Pastor Mark's got answers for you, but you've got to send them in to us first. So just visit our website at thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. Click Signs of the Times and you'll see where you can send Pastor Mark your prophecy question. On the boats and on the planes. All right, as we come back to America, we first visit an article from All Israel News. This is Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu declare war on the Ayatollah regime, telling Iran people to take over your government.
That's
I don't
right.
know why this is here other than the fact that it's we did it. So.
Well, again, this is the Ayatollah. So
yes.
You should have repented. You should have done it. You didn't. And so now you're in trouble. U.S. President Donald Trump announced the start of a major combat operation in Iran, explaining that the objective is to defend the American people by eliminating imminent threats from the Iranian regime. The president made clear that the destruction of the regime is a central objective to Operation Epic Fury, addressing the great and proud people of Iran. The hour of your freedom is at hand. He advised Iranians to stay sheltered during the strikes, but he added, when we are finished, take over your government. It will be yours to take. This may be your only chance for generations. America's backing you with overwhelming strength and devastating force. Now is the time to seize control of your destiny and unleash the prosperous and glorious future that is within your reach. This is the moment of action. Do not let it pass. So why is this here? This is just a good article basically to say, look, if this is going to, if here's why this is, I think, good prophetically to bring up, Greg, because if this regime is going to change, it's going to have to be by the people rising up once these other guys are wiped out.
Right.
If they don't rise up and do it, it's going to be, they're already saying that the Ayatollah's son is the one that they said is going to be the next leader. And of course, that just means he'll be the next one to get killed. But still, either way, President Trump is saying, no, I'm going to appoint the next leader. And what this is interesting thing about this is that, look, here's what we know is going to happen. I don't care who takes over Iran. Ezekiel 38 and 39 very clearly says that Russia and Iran will join together with Turkey and Libya and Sudan, which, by the way, Sudan just said, they came out and said, their government came out and said, we're going to stand with against Israel.
Mm.
If everybody fights against them, we'll go with you. And they're going to.
Yeah.
Those five major nations and maybe others, but those five listed there in Ezekiel 38, they're going to come against Israel. So there is going to be the leadership of Iran. Whatever the new leadership is, they are still going to hate Israel and they're still going to move against Israel. Now, this means one or two things. Either somebody gets in that temporarily likes Israel, temporarily, and then he gets taken out. Or somebody's going to get into power who's going to pretend to like Israel, but really underneath is ready for the first opportunity. And when that opportunity arises, he's going to move against them. You know how that could happen? I don't know. You think America's got to kind of be neutralized? It could be that the rapture takes place and God allows some type of limited attack on America that neutralizes us, and then they see their moment, they move on Israel, and then God comes and defends them. We don't know how it's going to all happen, but they will still move on Israel, whoever this next leader is.
All right, our next article comes from the Times of Israel. This one says, for the first time, a Gallup poll shows Americans more sympathetic to Palestinians than to Israel.
This is scary to me.
Okay.
This is a turning point for our nation, Greg. Look, I've been watching this happen for a long time, but this is the first time that you now have the new generation, more of them against Israel than for them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the church better step up. We better step up, because if we don't start speaking the truth about God's promises to the nation of Israel, then we're gonna lose this battle. And I think we need to speak up, because we've got to stand with the nation of Israel. Look, we don't stand with them because they're righteous. They're not righteous. They're unsaved. They're unholy. But we stand with them because God said, I've got future promises for them. And so we stand with them as future family. So again, this Gallup poll, you know, I would say we need to, you know, saddle up and gallop in the right direction. Let me read some of this. Americans for the first time sympathize more with the Palestinians than Israelis in their conflict, according to the Gallup poll released Friday, indicating a sea change in public views of Israel's key ally. Views on the Middle East divide sharply along partisan lines, with the shift over the past year the result of more independent souring on Israel. Now, again, it's interesting. It says that they're shifting over the past year again on partisan lines. For the church, guys, hear me on this. These should be biblical lines, not partisan lines, not Republican, Democrat. This is where we have to stick and stay true to the word of God. On biblical lines, we stand with Israel because God has future promises for them. Overall, 41% of Americans sympathize more with Palestinians and only 36% sided with Israel, the poll said. Again, this has never happened. It marks a sharp difference from just a year ago when Israel led in sympathies 46% to 33%. And I quote, it's the first time they have reached parity, which is really quite striking, said Benedict Vigers, a senior global news writer at Gallup. In not many years, that very significant gap in public opinion has now completely closed. When asked about their sympathies, independents sided with the Palestinian people by 11 percentage points. Look, this shows a lack of biblical teaching. If you don't know the Bible, this can happen because you're going off of your emotions and your feelings. You've got to forget your emotions, forget your feelings, and go with the word of God. And God says, I'm going to keep my promises to Abraham, their physical descendants, and those who get saved. And if we're going to stand with God, we've got to stand with Israel. When we fight against Israel, we're fighting against God. I was just speaking to someone right before the broadcast saying they've got a family member that, again, is very, very anti-Israel and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, but they're a believer. He said, how could that happen? Here's how it happens. Hear me now on this. A lack of the teaching of the word of God. For anybody that can stand against Israel, it means they either have made up their mind they will not listen to God's word and believe it, or they don't know God's word. And I choose to believe they don't know God's word, and they don't understand God's promises all the way through the scripture to the nation of Israel. We have to be educated on the word of God, and that's why we have to go line by line, verse by verse, Genesis to Revelation. You know, I think it's becoming essential now to do that. It's not even an option. We've got to know the full counsel of God if we're going to know what's going to be happening in the last days. It breaks my heart, but the Bible says in the last days that all nations will turn against the nation of Israel. And yes, that means even America. So it breaks my heart, but the Bible told us prophetically this would happen. And the church has got to fight. We got to fight against it the best we can and try to push back.
Well, here's another way that that can happen, Pastor Mark. This article from Fox News, Chasing the Apocalypse, radical Shiite clerics on American soil preach prophetic showdown with the U.S.
Unbelievable, guys. Listen, I used to see in the Middle East all these clerics in the Middle East going, death to America, death to Israel. Now we have them in America saying death to America.
And we put up with it.
These people should be kicked out of our country. They're not an American patriot. These people should be done away with. Look, you say death to America and you're teaching people. Look, it's one thing. You can have your opinion. But when you come in and start teaching the world around you, start hating America, you're destroying your own country. Guys, at that point, that's a cancer that needs to be removed. This is out of Manassas, Virginia. For many, the war with Iran and the killing of the Ayatollah Khomeini might seem like a climactic end to a long, brutal reign of terror by theological clerics who have run the country since 79. But Fox News digital investigation reveals that for certain hardline Shiite ideologues, including in the U.S., this is not an ending but a prophetic showdown that will usher in the arrival of the Mahdi, a Messiah, according to Islamic eschatology, or theology of the end times. Now understand, listen, we have Christ the Messiah and the Antichrist. Because Satan knows that he can't just totally deny the Bible, he teaches in false religions as well, they also have a Savior and an Antichrist. And they believe their Antichrist, again, the Mahdi, they believe is going to be their Messiah. And their Antichrist is called, the Antichrist is called the Dajjal. In the prophecy, the Mahdi, who's their Savior, will emerge to battle the Dajjal, which is their Antichrist, the Islamic equivalent of the Antichrist, in the final battle of Armageddon. For many of these ideologues, President Trump is the Dajjal. They believe he's the Antichrist. At a recent Friday sermon of a local Shiite mosque in Northern Virginia, backyard of our nation's capital, an imam closed the prayer with an earnest plea before war broke out in Iran. Said, listen, here's the prayer going in the in at least one, I know there's others, in our own nation right now. Here's the prayer. May Allah destroy all the non-believers. Guys, that's us.
We're the infidels.
We are the ones to kill us all, he said, or the unbelievers. He used Arabic words that refer to non-believers and hypocrites. In other words, we all need to be killed. That's happening. That's being taught. Listen, we need to fight back. This is our nation. And so I'm not saying we go and hurt anybody. I'm saying these people should be expelled. They should be put out of our country. Go to a country that you love.
Yeah.
Live there, but you're not welcome here. I believe that we should do that. I think Congress should say, look, you start teaching against them. You can have freedom of speech and hate America. But when you're a leader over groups of people, that should not be allowed.
And you're inciting violence.
It should not be allowed because now you're getting groups of people to have fighting within your own nation, which causes chaos and disruption. He asked for this victory before the arrival of the Imam Mahdi. Now get this. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, they're going to believe that's their Mahdi.
Yes, their Savior.
There he is.
Yep.
So they're set up, even as the Jews are going to believe that the Antichrist is their Messiah.
Yeah.
Unreal. Unreal.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.
All right, here goes the money. This is from MSN.com. This is an article dated March 2nd. An analyst says the war in Iran could lead to a guaranteed global recession.
Yeah.
Because of one choke point that is crucial to the world economy.
Yes, I believe this is fake news.
Okay,
I left it in here to point, because you're going to hear about this.
Okay, thank you.
It came from MSNBC or whatever they call themselves
MSN,
now.
Yeah, whatever they call themselves
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a mess.
MSN, mainstream nonsense.
I think I said, sure, I'm a mess.
I'm a
mess news.
Yes.
Anyway, this is fake news, because here's going to happen. The Bible says, look, we're going to see an explosion economically. The Antichrist is going to come in and things are going to be like, happy days are here again. So I think you're seeing that come into place now with what President Trump is doing on the globe. He's not the Antichrist, but I'm saying he's getting things in position for there to be great global explosion. I think there's going to be an economic explosion. But again, you see MSNBC is always on the opposite side of God.
Gotcha. Yep.
And so I think I'm not even going to spend time on the article. We'll go on because we can cover some others. But
sure.
The point is, they're saying, I think this is the enemy putting this in there to make it look like, look, President Trump's ruined the world economy. No. I think you're going to see this over with. We're going to continue forward. I think you're going to see a global explosion in the economy.
Yeah. I was going to say for you, those of you that are watching your investments, we know they took a big dip this week, but once this thing is all settled with Iran, it's going to come back.
Oh, so, yes, absolutely.
So.
Oh, only one more. I'm trying to rush to give us time.
That's okay.
Awesome.
Maybe the Lord has something that he wants to say through you.
This is plenty
at the
of
end,
time
so
to discuss.
Who knows?
Yes,
yes,
yes, yes.
All right. This is from MyNews4.com. This is out of Nevada, basically, is what this is. Earthquake swarm rattles central Nevada near Tonopah along a newly identified fault.
That's right, Nevada. It's not your fault.
At least it's not your normal fault. Or your new fault.
Now,
yes.
this we're going to see this is normal. But guys, note this. The Lord said last days, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in various places. I believe that's what we're experiencing. A swarm of earthquakes has been rattling a remote stretch of central Nevada near Tonopah, including a 4.0 quake that hit the Warm Springs Tuesday morning. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to give this balance. Seismologists said that the activity is typical for Nevada, where clusters of earthquakes can flare up in concentrated areas. It's very Nevada-style earthquake sequence. We have these a lot where we see an uptick in activity in a certain spot, said Christy Rowe, director of the Nevada Seismological Lab. The latest magnitude 4 quake struck near Tonopah, near Warm Springs, the largest earthquake in the swarm so far, measured 4.2. Here's the difference. The Lord said, we've always had earthquakes. We've always had wars and rumors of wars. But the Lord said, you're going to see it like a woman with birth pangs. That is, they're going to become, as we get closer to his return, they're going to become more frequent and with greater intensity. So we watch for something that's different. Again, we see the wars and rumors of wars happening now. I think this is a gigantic contraction of last days, what's happening now in the Middle East. Not that it hasn't always happened, but again, it's happening in greater intensity. It says, what stood out to researchers is the fault involved. Rose said the earthquakes are occurring along the fault, stretching along the southern edge of the Monitor and Antelope ranges. Note this, and ready? And that is, it was previously unknown to scientists. It's a brand new fault, and it's brand new clusters. Again, the Lord didn't say they wouldn't be happening like even the way they have been, but in a newness. And I see a sign here of something new taking place in these clusters. And it's also interesting for me to see the earthquake clusters happening and other events happening around the globe. At the same time, wars and rumors of wars are happening. And I quote, we didn't know this fault was there. It's a new fault to us, not to the earth, obviously.
It's not our fault.
That's right. But it was previously unknown, Roe said. So again, remember, guys, you're going to see contractions. We're in those contractions. I believe we're in a major contraction right now. We don't know how long these contractions are going to last. You're going to have times of where it's going to be like, oh, this is nice. Then you're going to have times of great intensity. This is really hard. Then this is nice. Then really hard. It's going to get worse each time. And I think that's what we're seeing happen here in this particular situation. So the bottom line is, I would say this. Look, guys, we need to be ready. The signs you talked about, we had a question earlier about Simeon.
Yes.
And God saying, Simeon said, I'm not going to die until I see the Messiah. Now you're showing me the signs. Guys, I believe the signs are all around us. I believe we are the generation to see the return of the Lord. I really do. Now, even if we're not, we're going to go see him when we die. So you're not losing either way to be ready.
I was going to say we win either way.
Yeah. But I believe we're seeing the signs. I think we are right at the cusp of the signs of the times of the Lord's return. And so what that means is we need to be ready. Learn your Bible. from beginning to end. Understand what God's word says about the Bible. Understand what it says about prophecy in the last days. You know, this is not a time to be living in sin. You know, walk in holiness. You know, seek the Lord. Live righteously before God. And let God use you in great ways in these last days. Listen, this is our last opportunity, guys. And then we step into a kingdom that the Lord rules it and runs it, you know, which is going to be great.
Yeah.
But if you're wanting to get reward, if you're wanting to stand for the Lord, now's the time to do it. Listen, it's not going to take any kind of bravery to stand for the Lord during the millennial kingdom. He's going to be ruling the earth.
And he's going to have you the power to help rule with him.
Yeah. So if you want to have the honor of honoring God when it's not popular, if you want to be godly when godly wasn't cool, country song.
Yes.
Then you need to do it now. So again, I encourage you, look, if you don't know, if you're a believer and you're not serving the Lord, serve the Lord and make a stand for Christ. You're going to get a great reward in heaven. Now's the time to make that stand and stand with Israel because God wants us to. If you don't know the Lord, if you cry to him right now and ask forgiveness of your sins and believe he died for you on the cross and rose again 3 days later, the Bible says if that's from the heart, you'll be saved. Cry out to the Lord, become a part of the family because he's coming for his bride very soon.
A good word to end on, Pastor Mark. As always, thank you so much. And folks, thanks for listening or watching. Don't forget our website, thewaymedia.net. We offer much more than just Signs of the Times. We offer the feeding of God's word through the radio station, through our pulpit teachings from Pastor Mark here at Calvary Knoxville, so you can be enriched, encouraged, and informed, so you can grow closer to Jesus. And as we grow closer to next week, we hope you continue to join us as we continue looking at the signs of the times right here on WIAM.
WIAM LP Knoxville.